The first reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. You can find that on page 1093 of the Pew Bibles. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them all declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the Gospel of John. Starts in chapter 15 and runs through into 16. So we're starting at chapter 15, verse 26, which is just at the bottom of page 1083. And there's a little bit left out at the front of 16, and then we read again from verse 5. Jesus is saying, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray to start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Open our hearts to hear your voice through it. Still our hearts and help us to breathe in your Spirit. Help us to breathe in the Spirit of Pentecost. Help us to breathe in your love. Amen. So, this is the day when the Spirit came. Dramatic moments and mysterious events. Jesus not alongside, but inside. The day of Pentecost is a day of celebration, when Jesus, instead of walking alongside the disciples, sends the Holy Spirit to dwell inside the hearts of the believers. Pentecost was the Greek and Latin name for the Jewish harvest festival, and it was a time of celebration and thanks for God's many gifts and blessings to his people. And it's just lovely to be in Harwell this morning and see all the flags out. The flags of Pentecost, or whatever else the flags are there for. But for me, it was the flags of Pentecost. Pentecost was traditionally the best attended of the great feasts because travelling conditions were good and there was never a more cosmopolitan gathering in Jerusalem than this one. It was the morning of the Feast of Pentecost. And in my imagination, taken from the Book of Acts, Jerusalem was throbbing with unease and probable curiosity. 7 weeks had passed since the shattering and painful crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth, whom some had believed was the Messiah, who would free Judea from the Roman oppression. But his death dashed those hopes for many. And yet, there were still many stories flourishing about his resurrection from the dead. Mary had seen him in the garden, Peter in Jerusalem, Nathanael by Lake Galilee, Cleopas on the road to Emmaus, and of course Thomas, eventually with the others in the locked room. 11 disciples saw his resurrected body return to heaven. But Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the power from on high, and now they were in the city waiting. Waiting for the day to come when Jesus would send the gift of the Holy Spirit to support them. When they received it, they were to begin their mission from Jerusalem to all Judea and Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. No pressure then. In the reading from John's Gospel, we heard a conversation Jesus is having with his disciples. And at this point, they're walking to Gethsemane. The Last Supper has happened. Betrayal and the crucifixion lie ahead. Time is running out for Jesus. But he tells his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them and that the Holy Spirit will be sent when Jesus is not. When Jesus is not there, the Holy Spirit will be sent to them and they will not be alone. They will have the power of God. But they have to wait. And today in our reading from the Book of Acts, we find the disciples still waiting, probably behind locked doors again. They had followed Jesus, but now they couldn't see him. Questions must have been going through their heads. What did it all mean? Crucifixion and death, resurrection and ascension, and now this mysterious gift of the Holy Spirit. Waiting, waiting, waiting. But what a wait! 50 days after Jesus rose from the tomb and 10 days after he ascended into heaven, the waiting is over and the gift arrives. And from our reading, we can imagine what a miraculous scene it must have been. There were 12 apostles and about 120 others. So a few more than us today, but a big gathering, waiting for the promised gift. They saw tongues of fire come to rest on each of them. In the Old Testament, fire was a sign of God's presence. From the burning bush that Moses saw to the pillar of fire that rested over the tabernacle, But it was not just presence. It was power and purity. Presence, power, and purity. Fire, the symbol of purification. We think of how fire is used to refine gold, burning away what is temporary and leaving only what it will last. It illustrates that the filling of the Holy Spirit combines power and purity. God's fire cleanses, refines, and purifies. And later we're going to sing that hymn, Purify My Heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Not purity for the sake of it, but so that our hearts can receive and can be fully surrendered to God, so it can be a heart that has given all of itself. And then, after this fire, we hear that there was a loud noise like a violent wind. Or maybe this description was just the best way that they could describe what must have been an awesome experience. Fire and wind it may have been, but the Holy Spirit changed them. Let's look for Peter. Peter the fisherman. Peter the frightened one. Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. In fact, where was Peter? Peter was standing and preaching to the crowd. There was a remarkable change in him. He had a courage and a boldness that was in complete contrast to the Peter before being filled with the Holy Spirit. It appears that Peter's sermon is intuitively given. We do not read of Peter studying the scripture and preparing to speak, like I've been all week, looking at all the books and things. It seems he didn't know what to expect. He was just waiting with the others. There is no hint that he woke up in this morning knowing that he would speak to thousands and those thousands would accept Jesus in response. The anticipation, the preparation, the training all comes together for those disciples as they become part of the next chapter. The spirit of the risen Jesus is inside them. They are changed from followers to leaders. They are changed from bereft disciples to apostles. They are changed. Jesus is inside. Now the Spirit has arrived, hope is rekindled, and the disciples are inspired and motivated into action. Love is alive. Next, we hear people talking, not as they normally would, but as God enabled them to speak in languages of other nations so that people could understand. Obviously, this was no ordinary and everyday incident. It caught the attention of the crowd of people. I think this is a really important message for us today. Jesus is still completely available in our setting and our environment, but we all need to hear the gospel in a language that we can understand, alongside the society that we understand. Christianity has been translated into different cultures and languages through history and from one cultural setting to another in sometimes surprising and radical ways. But we today need to link Jesus to people's experiences of life. So how do people that we meet every day, what is their life like, and how can we link Jesus our Lord to that life? Worship for those who lived in the 15th century, different culture, different translation, but the same message. Jesus died for you and lives today through his Spirit. Services for children, different culture, different translation. Peter is taking the gospel and translating it in a way that our children understand with all that technology stuff that I don't have a clue about. But it's the same message. Jesus died for you and lives today through the Spirit. Services in Africa, different culture, different translation, but the same message. Jesus died for you and lives today through the Spirit. I remember with so much fondness some African services that I attended when I went on a mission trip with my sending church. And the African Christians, they didn't sit like you guys. They wanted to participate in everything. So this talk may go, I may say, so Jesus is not alongside, And an African congregation, I think, is bound to respond, but inside! And there would be tambourines and dancing and drums. A different culture, a different translation, but the same message. Jesus died for you and lives today through the Spirit. The love of God has to be enculturated to our surroundings. The importance of translating the gospel so that everyone can understand it is vital. If we also are to take God's mission from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, Chiltern, Harwell, Oxford, wherever we are, to the ends of the earth. Visions of ethnicity and national identity disappear as we discover every culture, including our own, needs the transforming love of God. There were 12 ordinary men, just like you, just like me, who to begin with were remarkably unremarkable. Normal occupations, fishermen, tax collectors, tradesmen. Was the founding church really to depend on these? But the success of their work depended on the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit working in them. Converted from terrified, timid disciples hiding behind locked doors to powerful proclaimers of the good news, they were filled with joy and enthusiasm, and we have the same spirit in us today. Converted from terrified, timid church participants into somebody with powerful message to the people that we live with. The gift of the Holy Spirit gives Jesus' followers the final ingredient, transforming them into active participants in his mission. Jesus had told them that the Holy Spirit would enter into them to fully inspire and guide them. Now was that time. Now is that time. Jesus inside. God in Christ through the Spirit has come to say. Let us in the Spirit also tell the world what God has done. The gift that led to the day of Pentecost brings the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of purity, the Spirit of love, in all its fullness, right into our hearts. Jesus, not alongside, but, if you were in Africa, inside! Let us welcome the Holy Spirit. Let us seek more of his power. Let us seek more of his purity. I'd just like to read a poem by Claire Seal. Be with me, I whispered, as the sun began to rise. I am here, he answered, I am by your side. Be with me, I whispered, when I have your work to do. I am here, he answered, I am here with you. Be with me, I whispered, for sometimes I feel alone. I am here, he answered, you are never on your own. Be with me, I whispered, when I have a load to bear. I am here, he answered, I am always there. Be with me, I whispered, when I feel I have to grieve. I am here, he answered, I will never leave. Be with me, I whispered, may we never part. I am here, he answered, I am dwelling in your heart. Jesus, not alongside, but pretend you're in Africa, but inside. May the presence of the risen Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit delight your heart this day and always. Happy Pentecost.